Clay Jenkinson is on line 7, noted scholar. I don't know, maybe Clay's got an observation for us. Hi, Clay. How are you?
Hey, I have 3. Number 1.
Got it.
Illinois was named by Thomas Jefferson.
Okay, wait a minute. I did not know that. Woohoo! That's awesome. Okay, number 2.
In the 1784 land ordinance, Jefferson named a number of future western states, and one of them was Illinois, which is more or less identical in shape to the current Illinois. Number 2, Theodore Roosevelt gave 2 nomination speeches, 2 presidential speeches in the same town in 1912. He failed to win the nomination in the Republican National Convention, even though he had won all but one of the primaries. And the second one was across town, the Bull Moose Party, where he gave his famous "We Stand at Armageddon and We Battle for the Lord." And after he was nearly assassinated in Milwaukee, he briefly convalesced in Chicago. So there's a huge Theodore Roosevelt connection in Chicago.
Digging
and
that.
Third, the 1893 Chicago Exposition, the famous White City Exposition,
yeah.
Buffalo Bill Cody brought his Wild West to the place, but he wasn't part of the official events. He set up across the road, and he was dramatically more popular and visited than the official exposition. You can't buy this kind of historical genius, man. Just think of that. I'm sitting here on hold, thinking it's going to be the weather, or, you know, the I-90 is all congested, and there, pop, there. How about that? Illinois was named by the 3rd president of the United States.
TJ, we call him. So I asked Clay Jenkinson to come on. You may vaguely recognize that voice because... And we've never had a conversation like this before, but I thought it would be kind of fun to visit with the man behind President Jefferson and President Roosevelt, the stage shows that we do once a year. Our August 12th show for you is virtually sold out. I told we're in double digits, less than 100 seats left for the 1 o'clock show, and we're nearing that for the 10 a.m. show. Which of the, so if you don't know what I'm talking about, every half year, a year or so, I go on stage, often at the College of DuPage, and I visit with, in first person, one of these 2 presidents, Jefferson or Roosevelt. The August 12th show at the College of DuPage will be with President Roosevelt. And on comes this guy. You believe that's President Roosevelt. I talk to him for about 45 minutes, and then we take questions from the crowd. We do the same sort of show with Thomas Jefferson. You portray both. Which do you prefer?
Well, first let me say that I play those historic presidents. You play King John. And Jefferson would not like the idea of king anything.
Yeah.
And Roosevelt would say, if you're going to be a king, you got to have a lot more oomph than that. You got to be able to punch a guy out in a bar from time to time. I prefer Jefferson because I think you and I both do. Jefferson is a visionary. He is essentially the crafter of the American dream, our belief in the aspirational, that humans are designed for happiness and rights, comes largely from Jefferson. You know, he's a calm and intelligent and thoughtful commentator on the world. I think we both, even you, I think, are a secret Jeffersonian. Roosevelt, poor John Williams, just gets shouldered off the stage, and you're just standing around looking at this massive ego. He's Trump with a brain, if that makes any sense.
Well, it really, we say what you will about Donald Trump, we never really have had as storied a president as Teddy Roosevelt, right? I mean, each time you and I walk off the stage after having done a Roosevelt show, I think, oh, darn, we didn't even do his trip to South America or his safaris or San Juan Hill, you know?
Here's why he was so great, John. First of all, he said what he meant, and he meant what he said. We haven't had that for a while, and especially now. But also, he was a national hero. He was our first cowboy president. He had had a transformation out in the badlands of my home state, North Dakota, and he'd been transformed from a kind of New York snob and an aristocrat into somebody who really did know how to bond with the people of this country. And he was a war hero from his time at San Juan Hill in Cuba. And so he had this personal allure that he was legendary. He was a mythological, larger than life human being, and because of that, it helped him achieve his agenda. His agenda turned out to be a fairly radical and progressive agenda, and it wouldn't have passed if it had been in the hands of McKinley or Taft or even Woodrow Wilson. But because Roosevelt was such a, as you see him on stage, such a massive personality and so delightful, even when you're kind of appalled, delightful that he was able to do that. But when I finished doing Roosevelt, I'm sweating like a hog.
You are.
From Iowa. I'm just sweating. And then I always look over at you, and I feel so sad because 99.99% of the people come to see the great, famous John Williams. And then John Williams has to stand on the stage and watch himself be bullied and belittled and kicked around like a 98-pound weakling by this giant ego from the past. I always feel guilty.
You go right ahead and feel guilty about it then, because I think it plays true to how that would go. If I had Roosevelt on the stage, I think that's what it would be like. And when tell me if this story is true. I only vaguely recollect it. But after he's president, he goes on safari in Africa or to tour Europe or something, and then he comes back. He's coming back to the United States. And just to remind us that a president or a former president can still be wildly popular, and we really just don't have that much anymore. When he comes back, like schools let out, and there were thousands and zillions of people, right? Do you know the story I'm talking about?
Yes, he comes back in 1910. He's been gone now for almost 2 years. And first it was the largest ticker tape parade in the history of New York up until the present day. I mean, the country went nuts for the return of its most famous person, its greatest person, certainly in that era. And when his ship came into New York Harbor, little dinghies and rowboats and small boats and tugboats and any watercraft that people could get went out to greet him. And he was treated like a king plus. He was treated like a combination of the most popular American plus the most famous American plus the greatest American. And the adulation was unprecedented in all of American history. And he could scarcely move. And poor Edith, his wife, said, "Hey, here we are, your family. You've been gone for a while. Can we have a little attention here?" And he couldn't give them attention because the public owned him in a way that I don't think has ever been equaled in the whole course of American history, not even with modern media and modern transport systems. And so, he was that was the problem, John, because he was the biggest personality in the history of the presidency. He left at the age of 50, and for the next 10 years, he only lived to be 60, but for the next 10 years, he became one of the most annoying people who ever lived because he couldn't stand not to be in power. He could not stand to be a former president. Bill Clinton has a hard time being a former president, George W. Bush not so much. Roosevelt, every single day was agony to him to think that somebody else could be allowed to do the thing that he should be doing.
And he was great with a quip and great with a four-hour speech. I wonder what he would have done on Twitter. I'll bet he would have. I wonder if he would have resisted it. Would that have seemed too trivial to him, or would he have just been awesome at it because he loved to talk and touch people?
Well, I think he would have been able to do it. Speak softly and carry a big stick. You will go far. And black care seldom sits behind a rider whose pace is fast enough. And the credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred with dust and sweat and blood. You can take Jefferson, who is a very tight, brief prose stylist, or Roosevelt, who's a prosaic, a prolific, a verbose prose stylist. But either one said so many memorable things that they could easily have Twitter accounts. They probably both would be ashamed of an America that had been reduced to discourse in 144 characters, especially Jefferson. But they both would master it. And that's, I guess, one of my points as a humanities scholar, John. Genius outs. Someone like Jefferson is going to be at the top of the heap in any era. He's going to master whatever the situation is. Roosevelt once in Osawatomie, Kansas, on August 31st, 1910, gave the most radical speech ever by a major political figure in the United States. There were 20,000 people there. No amplification of any sort. He stood up on a table and bellowed for a couple of hours, and they heard him. And you can't imagine Jefferson doing that, but somehow he would find a way.
Wow. It's 2:19 on WGN. That's the voice of Clay Jenkinson. When he does Jefferson, he performs with a softer, more retiring voice and persona. And when he does Roosevelt, give me just 3 seconds. Give me 4 or 5 seconds of Roosevelt.
I believe that this country has a destiny in the world. And if we fail to meet that destiny, we will be the most shameful and pitiful beings who ever walked on the face of the earth. Our need is to master the world because the Anglo-Saxon races deserve to lead because nobody else can do it as well as we can. And by the way, I need to be at the front of that army.
So then there's that.
I'm tired. No, I'm sweating. You know, Jefferson would say, it is to be considered as a principle that may be useful in the course of human events, that sometimes a stronger leader may be more important than a weaker one. And it's always interesting, but it's not like the big stick.
Well, Roosevelt gets more laughs. I think Jefferson fires more thoughts for the crowd as they watch.
You know, people come. I mean, I'm not joking, John. People come. We do these lines afterwards where we autograph programs and photographs, and the line is like 3.5 miles long, and they come up and they shoulder me out of the way and say, John, did you get the packet of things I sent you about tax relief?
I like when, so there we are, we're always signing programs or pictures or copies of books that you've written, and I sign it John Williams, or maybe King John for fun, and then you sign it Clay Jenkinson. I think, oh, that's disappointing, because they came to see Roosevelt. They want Roosevelt, and here's C-L-A-Y.
They come up and they say to me, hey, good show, nice costume. Now, John, your glasses, I think that they were black the last time I saw you, but your new sweater, man, that sweater works for you, especially on radio, honey.
All right, so if you want to see what we're talking about, and I know you do, you may not be able to get tickets.
These things.
To the 10 o'clock show, the 1 o'clock show. No, the 1 o'clock show is nearly sold out, but you might be able to get into the 10. Call 630-942-4000. Bring a friend, 630-942-4000. That's the Mac box office at the College of DuPage. Or go to WGNradio.com/events, and you will see this man there. This conversation you and I have just now had and are now concluding of 9 minutes is longer than I almost ever talk to you. I almost am always talking to one of those two presidents, backstage, afterwards, on stage. It's nice to hear.
I'm not very interesting. I'm just me. I don't even know who my identity is, but I know who they are. And if people want to come to this, you know, people come 6, 7, 10 times, 10 years in
a
row, as
you
know,
true.
John. The programs are always different. It's always thrilling. They get to see a bona fide national hero and me.
And they get to hear it in their words. I've never seen you fumble for a phrase. You must have just committed a lot of this to memory, and when the question or occasion serves, then you just call it up, huh?
Yeah, I come out there, and I just like performing at the top of my energy level for 2 hours or whatever, and then you drop me off at my Motel 6, and I sit in the chair and quiver for 7 or 8 hours.
That's kind of true. All right, my friend. I'll see you.
I love you. I can't wait to see you. It's only a few weeks.
Second Saturday in August. Get tickets and learn, laugh, and live with Teddy Roosevelt. I'll talk to you again.
Jefferson named Illinois. Talk to you soon.